This month, South Australia passed laws to criminalise coercive control as a standalone offence, making it the third Australian state to adopt this legislation. Coercive control is an underreported type of domestic violence where an abuser seeks to control a victim's behaviour. The state's laws are set to come into effect in 2027. Minister for Women and the Prevention of Domestic, Family and Sexual Violence, Katrina Hildyard, says the delay is to allow time to educate and train police, courts and other domestic violence workers. The Wire's Sam Giorgio spoke with Minister Hildyard to hear more.
In 99% of domestic violence homicides, coercive control was present in the relationship that preceded that horrific final act. The prevalence of coercive control and those tragic consequences absolutely demand that we act. Up until now, our law has recognised in the whole those incidents of physical violence, but hasn't appropriately recognised those terrible patterns of violence that are not always physical, but have a terrible debilitating effect on those who experience it.
Embolden is the peak body for specialist domestic, family and sexual violence services in South Australia. CEO Mary Leaker says, understanding coercive control and what it means is vital. She also points to important lessons to be learned from challenges in the rollout of the UK's coercive control legislation.
Coercive control is something that women experiencing domestic and family violence have been talking about for a really, really long time. But we're now starting to use the language of coercive control a lot more. So essentially, we can understand it as a pattern of abusive behaviour over time, which really has as its core intention the aim to control and constrain someone's autonomy and freedom of action and movement. Really, the person using coercive control achieves that through creating and maintaining an environment of fear. And one of the important things about coercive control is that it often does involve physical and sexual violence, but it doesn't necessarily always. So it's a pattern of abusive behaviour over time that's really about power and control.
The new coercive control legislation that's being implemented, what are your thoughts on the fact that it's taking 2 years to come into effect?
Embolden has always been supportive of the state government's intention to have a long lead-in time before the coercive control legislation comes into force. And one of the reasons that we support that is there's a risk that the legislation will let victim survivors down if we're not prepared as a state. And we know that from the experience internationally, so particularly in the United Kingdom.
What are some other challenges enforcing coercive control that, say, other states have had that have passed that law?
In Australia, these offences are relatively new. In speaking to the experience in the UK, certainly evidencing has been a challenge. It's just really important that at an operational level, police have the understanding and also the capacity to look at that circumstance in a more holistic way so that they are looking for patterns of abusive behaviour rather than, again, seeing domestic and family violence only in terms of potential physical violence and individual incidents of physical violence. One of the concerns that's been raised internationally is that with the criminalisation of coercive control, there's a heightened risk that the person who's experiencing coercive control will be misidentified as the person using abuse. And that's particularly a risk for culturally and linguistically diverse women internationally. But in the Australian context, there's a real concern. And Aboriginal advocates have raised the concern that this is particularly a risk for Aboriginal women. So one of the things that Embolden is very keen to see is that we have a really clear and transparent focus on when the laws come into force, whether they are in effect increasing the criminalisation of women who are actually victim survivors, not the person using coercive control. And as I said, we're particularly keen to ensure that that's not increasing the criminalisation of Aboriginal women.
Minister Hildyard again.
This legislation is so important. It is legislation for those that we've tragically lost, including precious Hannah Clark and her children. We were joined when this legislation progressed by Hannah Clark parents, Sue and Lloyd Clark, two of the most extraordinary people I have ever met and worked alongside as they mourn their daughter and their grandchildren. They have been incredibly brave in informing us about the need for this legislation, in speaking up and encouraging change. And I'm so grateful that they shared their experiences so courageously with us. And I'm very grateful to all of those survivors for providing us with so much incredible insight and direction as we took this legislation forward.
Minister for Women and the Prevention of Domestic, Family and Sexual Violence, Katrine Hildyard, speaking with The Wire's Sam Giorgio.